Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 4th, 2014. More deadly rebel attacks, this time in Warrap State.
8 people were killed, unfortunately, and 11 wounded. SPLA base around managed to protect the properties of the civilians, which were the target.
And 2 people were shot dead in Maridi County by SPLA soldiers.
They took 3 of them and then took them somewhere. 2 were actually shot dead, and there's 1 injured who's now receiving treatment at Maridi Civil Hospital.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan's army says 8 people were killed this week when forces loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar launched an attack in Warrap State. But opposition spokesman denies there has been any fresh fighting between opposition and government forces. For VOA News, Philip Aleu reports from Juba.
Military spokesman Colonel Philip Aguir says forces loyal to Machar attacked Mayanjur village in Gauriad East County on Wednesday.
And in attack, 8 people were killed, unfortunately, and 11 wounded. The SPLA base around managed to protect the properties of the civilians, which was the target. And the attackers were defeated, and they left heavy casualties behind them. And they withdrew towards Unity State.
Aguir says 2 of the dead were civilians, and 6 were SPLA soldiers. He says the attack is a violation of the cessation of hostilities agreement that President Salva Kiir and Machar signed in May and he committed to less than a month ago. But opposition military spokesman Lurwai Kwang says there was no fighting between Foro and anti-government forces in Warrap State or elsewhere.
No, I'm not aware of any reports of fighting in Warrap. You know, Warrap State, Lagos State and Unity, they are known as triangle of lawlessness. We have a lot of cattle raiding taking place. The communities, the Kuria communities, are too hostile. So since I have no information from our forces, I'm sure they must have been civilians fighting over cattle or other forms of livestock.
Aguir says pro-government forces are expecting imminent attacks on their positions in Jonglei, Unity, and Upper Nile states.
The rebels have been mobilizing, and they are now moving to attack SPLA positions in Nasir and Ayud. And these are hostile activities altogether. Our forces are on maximum alert, though committed to maintain ceasefire.
The SPLA spokesman says pro-government forces will fight back and defend themselves if attacked. Kwang said there will be no need for that because the opposition is not mobilizing to attack government positions.
That's not true. We have been trying to contain the movement outside those towns. You know, when the government forces entered Nasser on the 4th and Ayud, you know, they kept on trying to advance deep into our territory. You know, Nasser is just a small town, and Ayud is the same. So they have been trying to advance towards our positions, and we have been containing them.
Aguir says the SPLA is reporting all ceasefire violations by the rebels to the monitoring and verification team set up by IGAD, the regional bloc that has been trying to broker a peace deal for South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Philip Aleu in Juba.
Lucy Pony contributed to this report from Nairobi. Another former senior member of South Sudan ruling party, SPLM, has joined rebels loyal to former Vice President Riek Machar. Peter Aduok Nyaba says he joined SPLM in opposition to fight for change in South Sudan. Nyaba says he escaped from Juba last week and is now in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Nyaba was the Minister of Education before President Salva Kiir sacked his entire cabinet in July last year. He was also arrested along with his 11 colleagues for allegedly attempting to overthrow President Kiir. Nyaba resigned from the ruling party last month, citing poor leadership in the SPLM. He accused the Kiir administration for putting him under house arrest for over 6 months without any charge.
So I've been under house arrest since December 31st, when they took me off the plane bound for Dubai and they impounded my passport. So since then I've been under some kind of house arrest. An opportunity presented itself to go to Rumbek to accompany the body of one of my colleagues who passed away in the United States, Professor Bolkolok. And I've got that as an opportunity to get out of South Sudan.
From Rumbek, where did you go? From Rumbek?
Yeah, well, chartered a flight from Rumbek straight to Nairobi. And from Nairobi, I came to Addis.
What are you doing in Addis?
Yes. Well, in Addis, I've decided to join with the opposition in order to work for peace and getting our country out of this situation it is in.
When you say you have joined the opposition, which opposition group have you joined?
Well, there's only one opposition now. That is the SPLM in opposition.
Your other colleagues who were detained with you in December, when they were released, they say they will work for peace and they opted not to join the government or the opposition. Why did you join the SPLM in opposition?
No, but they are different from me. I mean, this is their own choice. I don't know how they are working for peace in the way things are. I'm working for peace in the context of the struggle against Salva Kiir's dictatorship because there's unleashed war on our people. We are now in a civil war. And the only way to really to defeat it is to join those also who carry arms and face it.
You were there in Juba until last week. You told me that you were in a house arrest. How is the situation in Juba? We hear so many conflicting reports. How is the situation in Juba?
Things are getting worse and worse. As a result of the war, the lives of people is deteriorating. People's rights and human rights are being abused daily. I mean, you hear of people being killed, not only being killed, but also beheaded. You know, say that they cannot be identified.
How would you describe the situation that you went through since December until you escaped from South Sudan?
Well, it was horrible, to say the least, because to be confined and one's rights, which are enshrined in the constitution, are violated. I think it's a very horrible situation.
A lot of South Sudanese that I've spoken to are saying they don't want any fighting. They are tired of fighting. Is there a way that this problem will be solved on the battlefields?
But how can you avoid fighting if the incumbent is even preventing people? Look at how he is threatening anybody who is talking about federation in South Sudan. Because the system that has been instituted since 2005 has not really met the aspirations of our people. Now people are asking for federation, said that really this concentration of power, this which in the hands of a few cliques who are losing the resources of the country and who are oppressing the people, taking their land, is the stop.
That's Peter Adwork Nyaba, former senior member of SPLM. He was speaking to me from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, earlier today. Two young men were shot dead last night in Maridi County by SPLA soldiers, according to the commissioner of Maridi. Thomas Wilson Yanga says the police are investigating the killings. Justin Badi Arama, the Anglican bishop of Maridi, tells VOA fellow Nabil Biajo residents of the town are living in fear.
This morning, we got the detail that yesterday there were some young people drinking beer in one of the bars at the town. Then they started arguments. Then some of their colleagues were actually from the army. Then those who were from the army went back home quickly, then put their uniforms, came back with guns, then began to threaten these young people. Then they took three of them and then took them somewhere. And we found out that two were actually shot dead, and there's one injured who's now receiving treatment at Maridi Civil Hospital.
What was the argument about?
I can't understand exactly what the topic was, because the information I got that they were arguing, I don't know exactly what was the topic of the argument.
You said the people involved in the shooting were soldiers, and they shot local people who were arguing at a bar.
Yes. The soldiers, I've not seen them, but the names I heard seems like they are from Dinka ethnic group. And then, of course, the local boys, they are boys from around Maridi.
And we're hearing there's a lot of panic right now as a result of what happened last night. What is the mood like in Maridi today?
In Maridi, as I speak now, the town is not alive as it used to be. Most of the shops are closed, and you can see around the streets people with children, with mattresses, trying to move out of the town to look for somewhere to hide. So they are expecting maybe there could be retaliation from the relatives of the deceased, or the soldiers will again continue with the shooting. So those are the kind of rumors going around. And some are even saying this could be because of the topic of the federalism and many other things. So people are really fearful, and the town is in panic.
That's Bishop Justin Badi Arama speaking to VOA fellow Nabil Biagio from Maridi today. In our continuing series on federalism, Western Bahar al-Ghazal is joining the debate about whether South Sudan should switch from a centralized system of government to a federal one, where power is more evenly shared between the central government and the states. Michael Atit met with some residents of Wau and found out they were divided over which system should be best for South Sudan.
Angelo Usin Kamsur came to Wau from Sudan in 2012. For him, restoring peace in South Sudan is a priority, not the country's system of governance.
Personally, I feel that all systems of government are good if there is a genuine heart to implement them. If there is assurance that citizens will live in peace and unity among themselves. A federal or central system, all these are just names, but a system that unites the people and brings peace, that is what is needed.
24-year-old Hassan Juma Suleiman, who works for the Community Empowerment for Progress organization in Wau, says she would prefer a federal system of government. She says power is too concentrated in Juba under the current system, but federalism would allow states to develop laws that are more relevant to local people, she says. Juma also believes a federal system would reduce corruption and help to bring peace to the country.
Currently in South Sudan, what I see is good for us, like we the citizen. I see federalism is a good system of governing a country which had been through fighting throughout. Since we got our independence, we have never been in peace, because it brings back the power to the citizen. Those ones who are the down grassroots, they never had access to the government, because everything is centered to where the national government is.
But Western Bahar al-Ghazal Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan has spoken out against federalism. He says the state and the country have too many problems to take care of first before they start thinking about changing the system of government.
How can you call for a federal system when we are still suffering from the millennium cancers? We're still suffering from poverty and illiteracy. I think we are in a phase that is too early to consider a federal system of government. Western Bahar al-Ghazal State is not ready for federalism.
Dr. Samson Wasara is a vice chancellor at Bahar al-Ghazal University. He says that when people ask for a new system of governance, it means there is something wrong with the current system. That means that the calls for a federal system are something officials need to pay attention to, Wasara says.
As an academic, I feel that the issue of governance is a public domain and people should discuss it. But sometimes the issue of perception, and people actually attach fixed ideas about these systems, whether it's exactly federalism or it's unitary or it's decentralized. Indeed, none of this system of governance can work perfectly unless people give it actually the real meaning.
Early this week, a group of journalists in Juba say that they have been ordered not to publish or broadcast anything to do with federalism debate. They say the orders came from individuals claiming to be members of the security forces. But the government spokesman denied that President Salva Kiir is trying to suppress discussions of what the right system is for South Sudan. Wasara warns that preventing people from speaking their minds is likely to make them feel even more strongly that system has to change.
In this case, you know, it is very difficult to change the mindset of people, and they think that actually this is a key demand. And if you continue, really, and frankly speaking, by heart as an academic, if you continue to prevent it, we are promoting.
Presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny said this week that once South Sudan is at peace again, Mr. Kiir would support a referendum to decide what the right system of the governance should be. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear what you have to say about federalism. Stay tuned.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you prevent political parties from representing the interests of just one ethnic group?
By ensuring that the political party is not founded on the basis of an ethnic community. That means that the leader and the deputy and the secretary should not all come from the same tribal line. There should be equity.
I think our political parties should be prevented from representing only one interest of an ethnic group by allowing leadership to be brought right away from the grassroots of all the ethnicities in the nation where that political party is.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. I'm Gwen Utin. It's time for your comments. We heard from many of you this week about the idea of embracing federalism for the country. Thian Gekka from Old Finyuk in Unity State says, "Peace will come to South Sudan if and only if Salva Kiir steps down." He continues, "About 20,000 people who got killed in Juba are accounted for. Salva Kiir must unconditionally accept federalism or step down to pave the way for relative peace to return to the country. Otherwise," Gekka says, "the concerned youth whose people got killed in Juba will have legitimate cause to retaliate." Dario Donata from Nzara County, Western Equatoria State, writes, "Let us have peace first. Then we talk about whether or not to adopt federalism as a system of governance in South Sudan." Chol Philip Quer in Juba has this to say about federalism and rumors. "South Sudanese should not believe in rumors that President Salva Kiir wanted to assassinate Central Equatoria State Governor Clement Wani Konga. This is not true." He goes on, "A merciful president like Salva Kiir cannot assassinate advocates of federalism who have rights to express their people's views to the government and the public." Akin Yanyot in Juba says, "This is a message of peace for my dear youth of South Sudan." Nanyut tells young people to, quote, "stop being used as tools by politicians to achieve their useless objectives, because the future of this nation is in our hands," end quote. He adds, it will be us, the youth of this nation, to suffer later on if we allow ourselves to be divided by shameless politicians who think that everything in South Sudan revolves around them. He concludes, let us unite as one people, one nation, and nothing will defeat us. Robert Samuel from Yambio, Western Equatoria State, writes, peace is vital to human dignity, but war and displacement cause panic. Let us join hands to restore peace in South Sudan and overcome the suffering of our people. And finally, Emmanuel Kombo, also from Yambio, Western Equatoria State, says, love, accompanied by forgiveness, is the only way to achieve peace in South Sudan. It's better to say sorry for what you have done wrong to your friend and forget it completely in your heart. Thank you for your comments. We'd like to hear what you think. You can reach us by text or online at southsudan@voanews.com. I'm Gwen Uten.
We read listener comments on Fridays. These comments come from you, our listeners, and they reflect the views of the commentator only. The comments do not represent views of anyone on this program or the Voice of America. Hundreds of foreign traders in Awil are calling on the state government in northern Bahr el-Ghazal to set up nighttime security patrols. They say they fear for their property and own safety at night. As Abraham Agot reports, the traders are threatening to shut up their shops and leave if security is not improved.
Mohammed Abdel Gadim Fadul is a trader from Sudan. He says he and his fellow business people are having to deal with too many security issues and are fed up.
Every week, every night, shops are broken into. We complained earlier to the Chamber of Trade and Commerce, and they said they had passed our complaint to a higher authority. All this was done in writing with a copy sent to the governor and another one to the police commissioner. From now on, if any shop gets broken into and things get stolen, we shall seek a face-to-face meeting with the governor.
Fadul says he pays the local police 20 South Sudanese pounds a month to patrol the area where his businesses are. But in spite of the payment, goods are still disappearing at night. He says theft increased when the number of police officers on night duty was cut almost in half, from 50 to 30.
The security situation in this market used to be good, but then the police got transferred, and since then theft has been on the rise.
The Secretary General of the Northern Bahr el-Ghazal State Chamber of Trade and Commerce, Wola Mugwot, assured the traders that the state officials will work closely with the police to improve the security at night.
What I can say is that we need more police patrol to move at night around the shops. And we wrote a letter before 2 days ago, and we want to send it today to the police commissioner.
Good says more than 20 shops have been broken into since May. He says police officers supposed to be patrolling business areas at night have complained to his office that the money collected from the traders is not being passed on to them.
What I learned is that police brought a complaint before some days ago that the collected money for them, for their fees, has been taken to the headquarters while it was used for them, for their feeding.
The traders did not open for the business this week after the state officials assured them that the security will be stepped up in a wheel market. Out of 762 shops that are registered to do business in a wheel town, more than 600 are run by foreign traders. Most are from Sudan, but the traders also come from Uganda, Kenya, Ethiopia, and local community. For VOA News, I'm Abraham Agoth reporting in Awil.
Today, the World Cup reaches its quarterfinal phase, with European powerhouses France and Germany doing battle for a place in the semifinals. Germany has so far scored one goal. and the host Brazil will be taking on fellow South American Colombia. The soccer action has reached all the way into a UNMISS camp in Juba for people displaced by the conflict in South Sudan. Some of the fans at the Tomping camp told reporter Mungume Devs Rakarinj the World Cup gives them something they have not had for months, a sense of hope.
In a corner of Tomping camp in Juba, dozens of men are sitting on plastic chairs watching soccer on a small television screen in a makeshift cinema.
I opened this hall to help encourage the youth. Young men need to watch films and other sports like wrestling and soccer.
That was 28-year-old David Rajol Kony. He set up the viewing hall after just a few days in the camp, when he realized that the conflict in South Sudan had deprived him and thousands of other displaced persons of entertainment. Before the World Cup started last month, Rajor showed a lot of wrestling, which has a large following in South Sudan. He says his cinema got plentiful, and after paying his expenses, he was making a daily profit of £30, enough to buy food and clothing for his family of seven who are with him in the camp. But when the global soccer tournament began, Rajor says he was overwhelmed by clients. One of them is 38-year-old Michael Kongkan.
When I'm watching, I forget about everything. It is also give me time to rest after I watched. Also, it is also helping me to remember what I was doing before as I was young. I was also a footballer, but now it is like I'm retired.
27-year-old Ruel Ter Kual feels a sense of unity when he sits with other football fans in the tent and watches World Cup action unfolding on a small television screen.
I like it because it unites the world. Because different continents, they participate in the World Cup now. And when you go to world to watch a game, there is no difference between you and other people. You can watch it together, and there is no difference. We can say that this one is from this tribe and this one from this tribe.
Sometimes Cole has to stand for the entire 90 or more minutes of a match. There are only seats for around 100 people in the cinema, and during the World Cup, all of them are taken. Cole says the World Cup helps him to feel a sense of connection with the rest of the world.
If I don't know the name of another countries, but I, from those countries who went to World Cups, I will have a chance to know them. There's a country which is called Chile. I have never heard about it, but when the time I see it in the World Cup, I know about it.
Even though all African nations are out of the running for the gold-plated World Cup trophy, Rajol says he still expects a full house at his cinema to watch today's quarterfinal matches. But like his clients, his most favorite hope is that he will be able to shut down his cinema hall in Tomping camp because peace will return soon and it will be safe for him to go back home. For VOA News, I am Mugume Devs Rakarinj in Juba.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the latest song by Richard Adeba, who is also known as Kebas, featuring Tricia C. This song is entitled Let's Pray for Peace.
Let's pray.
Yeah, brother, you should never bother. Anything is possible, salam is possible. No, no more gunshots in the night. No, no more fights, only likes. I shall keep the wallet sharp, K-Bass, Masik Mike. Fibidaya, I know young boy, good now, our vision. K-Blue, AKJ, my man, and the local ceasefire. Now me and Trisha say,
we have been listening to Kebas featuring Tricia C with the song Let's Pray. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yeah. Yeah.